Sportswriters Festival's on in Melbourne this weekend. Sportswritersfestival.com.au. Yeah, it's my little baby because I love sport, as you know, and I love people writing and talking about it. And so I thought, bugger it, we'll set up a festival that talks and celebrates just that. One bloke who does it for a living every day, like literally every day, gets up and he writes about the sport he loves, is Andrew Mangan. He's from Dublin, Ireland. He is known to hundreds of thousands of people around the world as Arseblog, as an Arsenal blogger and podcaster. His podcast is called Arsecast. There's so many ways you can work that, isn't there? And he's come all the way to Melbourne to be part of the Sports Writers Festival, and he is here with me in the studio today. Andrew, welcome.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon.
Are you enjoying a bit of sunshine?
It is. It's far removed from Ireland, let me tell you. this is a glorious day. What a day to be here.
I came to get you off the airplane last night. You look like you'd seen a ghost.
I was haunted by 20 hours of sitting not sleeping, unfortunately. Lots of people can conk out on a flight, but not me. So, I sorted it all out last night with a couple of beers and some food, and then
You're right into sync. So for people who don't know what you do, you are a blogger and a podcaster, and you basically podcast and blog about... Look, I listen and read because I'm an Arsenal fan, but that's what you do. That you've made a career out of being a blogger and podcaster, and people all over the world read and listen.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. It's not something that I did on purpose. It's just something that kind of happened. You know, I started the website in 2002, and over the years it grew to the point where people wanted to advertise on it. I can remember actually the first ad we ever really did, a proper ad, and this guy said to me, how much will you charge? He worked for an advertising agency as well. He said, how much would you charge to run this ad on the site for 4 weeks? And I went, I don't know. This is not my thing. $400? And he went, no. And he said, look, here, I'll do the deal for you. And we ended up making, I think, something like $2,500 or $3,000. And that was like, oh, wow. Okay, we're onto something here. You know, we're going to have to take this a bit seriously. But it is just something that's grown organically down the years. And it's been a lot of years. It's 15 years now. So we've a bit of traction.
So, but you're well ahead of the curve because blogging now is a thing. Everyone does it. But when you were doing it, when I first sort of came across your blog, it was a daily email that you could sign up to.
Yeah.
Not many people were doing it.
Yeah, we had to get over the what's a blog thing when you would say to people, I write a blog, and they'd say, what's a blog? And we had that with podcasts as well, where people said, what's a podcast?
When was your first podcast? 2007?
2006. October 2006.
So podcasting's become a thing now, but you were doing it 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's always something I've enjoyed doing because I have a background in radio. So if you can put me behind a microphone, I'm really at my happiest, particularly if I can say what I like and do what I like.
Which you tend to do on the Arsecast.
I mean, we can't hear today, and I wouldn't impose myself on your show in that way. But yeah, you do have a blank slate, really, when you're making a podcast. So you can be as silly as you like, as serious as you like, and you can intersperse all that with whatever nonsense that you feel like putting together. So it's quite creative in that sense. You've got real creative freedom, and you can just put out something that people want to listen to. Thankfully, people have, you know, put up with my nonsense, so that's a good thing.
And you've been the audience all over the world. I mean, obviously a lot of listeners and readers in Australia, but football's a global game, so you must have people literally on every point of the compass.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that first struck me about the website when it started was how interested people from all over the world were in Arsenal. You know, we may be a bit insular in how we think about football in that part of the world, that maybe it's only the UK and Ireland. Certainly in Ireland, everybody has an English team that they support. So the Premier League or the old Division One, as it used to be, was always a big thing in Ireland. But when I started the website, you get emails from Australia, you get them from America, you get them from Africa, you get them from just everywhere. And the reach of Arsenal and football, of course, has grown as the internet has grown. It's become much easier for people to follow their favorite teams. In fact, it's always much easier for us. It seems it's easier for people over here or in different parts of the world to see all the games. I remember before the website first started, this might sound really weird and internet-y and nerdy, but there was a guy here who ran a website about Arsenal, and he had an IRC channel, which is like a chat channel, and people would follow. But because the games were on live here, there was another guy who would just do live updates in another window. So we'd all chat about the game in one window, and the other guy would just type out what was happening. You know, free kick to Arsenal on the edge of the box, goal, and everyone goes mental. And that's kind of, you're aware that it's a thing all over the world. The internet has really helped foster a great community.
9429 1116. If you've got any questions, I want to talk to Andrew about what he does with the Ask Blog and the Ask Cast, and just on blogging. And turning it into his career as he has done. But you are a radio guy, and you told me that you started it, what, as a teenager? What were you doing?
I started on pirate radio in Dublin. I was always into radio and music. I was always fascinated. I was just saying to you, I'm at my happiest behind a microphone or in a radio studio. So I went to this radio station called Radio Dublin, and I knocked on the door, and it was run by this famous, now infamous man called Eamon Cook. He turned out to be a very bad man, actually. But I sort of said to him, I gave him this spiel. I said, look, I'm really interested
How
in radio.
15.
So I'm really interested in radio. I've this great desire to have a career in radio and communications. I'm going to go to university and study all these things. And he went, yeah, you're on Friday night. Bring some records. I was like, oh, crap. And I was literally on that Friday night, and I had to sit there and play records and play ads and talk into the microphone and answer phones and do all that. And it was terrifying, but amazing at the same time. So
do you remember the first track you played on air?
I can't, to be perfectly honest. It's too many years ago now, but... I don't know, let's say something by Icehouse. How about that?
Playing to home crowd. In terms of, in the time that you've been covering, not just Arsenal, but the game itself, it's revolutionised in terms of its reach and its power. Is football and the world game better off now than it was then? It's certainly richer. Do you enjoy it as much as you did then?
That's a really good question. I mean, I still enjoy Arsenal, of course, even though they drive me mad, and they
you and me both.
Yeah, and everybody who's an Arsenal fan, I'm sure, will understand the highs and lows, but that's part and parcel of the game. I think there are things now that become more difficult to identify with. Even back in the day, you know, they'd say, oh, footballers are overpaid, and, you know, there's no connection to the man in the street. But I think in terms of the way the game is run, the way that fans are seen, that they're milked to the nth degree, aren't they? You know, there's nothing that won't become a brand or a piece of merchandise or a gambling partner or whatever it is to try and just soak as much as they can out of fans. And fans, of course, want as much as they can from their club or from football as well. So I think as well, go on.
We're our own worst enemies in that regard, aren't we?
Yeah, of course. But they know that. We're a captive audience. You can't give up on your football team, can you? You know, they know that no matter what they do to you, you're going to be passionate about your club and you want your club to do well. I think maybe now where we're seeing the emergence of a new breed of owner, I think that becomes very difficult for fans to identify with, whether it's an oligarch billionaire, whether it's a nation state, you know, using oil money, whether it is an American businessman who just adds to his list of underperforming sporting franchises. I think that is a new direction for football, and that's something that I think fans find it very difficult to identify.
Don't they just? Andrew Mangus with me from the Ask Blog and the Ask Cast. He's at the Sports Writers Festival tomorrow. If you want to come along, talking all things Premier League, talking Arsenal, talking blogging and podcasting, for sportswritersfestival.com.au is the website to go to. The reason why we lived with a bit of Phil Collins there is because he's been a regular theme of your blog and your podcast over many years, and he's just expressing just how much for Collins is often the funniest thing that's on there.
Yeah, it's kind of become a running joke, really, to
it
be
has.
Honest. It has become a running joke. But yeah, I stand over it. And the reason why is that song. I know it's a very popular song, but to me, it's just one of the most tedious, mind-numbing pieces of music that's ever been created. And every time I hear it, I want to put my head through a wall. So...
Lucky the walls are soft around you.
Yeah, good.
Have you ever,
a window here.
Because one of the great things about being able to podcast about sport and write about in that realm is you can be pretty direct with what you say.
Yes, you can. You can use language which some might describe as industrial. That could be a way of putting it. Yeah, you can. I mean, look, that's the beauty of it. And I think that's one of the things that has been a feature of Arseblog is that I've always spoken my mind. And maybe... maybe at the start it was a bit more sweary than it is these days. But, you know, I've grown up a little bit. But I think that people want that as well, don't they? When they go to football, they talk, that you talk a certain way when you go to a football game. You talk to your friends afterwards about it in a certain way. And if you can translate that into writing, I think people will, or have done, they certainly have responded to that over the years.
As your blog and Ask Us got more popular, and you've often been number one on the iTunes chart and all that sort of stuff, so lots of people are listening. The players and coaches and the like must become aware of it. So the club must be aware of it. I know they are because you've done some stuff for the Arsenal Football Club. Have you ever got a note from a player or a former player going, oh, man, that hurt, or that was funny?
I've had a response from Per Mertesacker to a post which I wrote about how he was almost in my top five favourite things of all time, which I think were beer, bacon, bourbon, football and puppies, and he almost made it into the top five. So yeah, he put a big post on his Facebook page about it, so I think he's aware of the site, certainly. Cesc Fabregas was a big reader back in the day we've split up with him. You know, we have the odd message here and there from Cesc, despite his horrible colours at this moment in time. But yeah, I think there will be some who read. Maybe people don't want to read certain things about themselves as well. But, you know, I try for the most part and be fair with what I say about the team and the players. I think it's important to do that. Sometimes, of course, you might not get there. Sometimes they frustrate you to the point where, you know, you have a little pop. But, you know, they're professional players. They can live with that.
But you do it every day. Do you ever get up and think, oh, I don't want to talk about Arsenal, I don't want to talk about football today? I just...
No, not really. I mean, certain days, if a result has gone badly or a game has gone badly, you think, oh, how the hell am I going to say this? Or how am I going to say the same thing in a different way? But, you know, Arsenal have been very kind to me in that they've had a great deal of variety in how they've messed things up down the years. So when things go wrong, there's usually a bit of leeway to go at it a different way. But it's just such an integral part of my routine. Every single morning, I get up, I hug my dog, I make coffee, and I go upstairs and I'll write 1,000 words about Arsenal 7 days a week. And I've just done that for 15 years now, that when I don't do it, if I go on holidays, for example, I don't do it, it feels a little bit unnatural.
Well, so, you are here at the Sports Writers Festival tomorrow to talk about all of this, and we'll talk plenty of football and Arsenal stuff as well. Just to finish, Arsene Wenger is still the manager at Arsenal.
Yeah.
You and I both had a long relationship with him. It's hard to think about life without him, but it's coming sooner rather than later, isn't it?
It has to. I mean, he's 68 years of age. He, as much as he might like to, and as much as people think he probably can, he can't go on forever. I'll say that now, and he'll sign a 5-year deal in a couple of years' time. But no, I think he has to go at some point. And I think that's in one way, it's something Arsenal need, I think, a new manager. But in another way, it's kind of terrifying, not just because he's been there so long and you don't know what to do without him, but are Arsenal, how are they going to replace him? How are they going to put in place a new manager? The current board that we have, people might have seen the stuff at the AGM. You look at that board and you think, God, they couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. Am I allowed to say that?
You just did.
So, you know, you know, can they then put in place a plan, a strategic plan to replace a manager like Wenger? Because it doesn't just need a manager or a head coach is what we're going to have to move to. You know, there's got to be a head of recruitment. There's got to be a director of football. All these things have to be put in place. And that's kind of scary because Arsenal right now don't look like a club that is ready to do all that work.
Has to be done at some point. Hey, Andrew, look forward to having an extended chat with you tomorrow afternoon.
Me too. Looking forward to it.